Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. My name is Emeka, and I'll be interviewing a variety amount of professionals in the real estate industry to help you get your next real estate investment. At the end of each podcast, I'll give you three actionable steps that you can do today to help you get to your next property. My goal with this podcast is to show the world that regular people like you and me can buy properties to build wealth. Today we have Dr. Inken Izimama. Dr. Izimama is an emergency medicine physician at TriStar Skyline Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee. She is a member of the Center's Clinical Competency Committee and until recently served on the Medical Executive Committee. She is also a member of the core faculty of the Medical Center's Emergency Medicine Residency Program. Dr. Izimama is also an investor and the founder and CEO of Phoenix Capital Investments, a multifamily real estate investment company. She started her investing journey as a passive investor and very quickly became an active investor with the acquisition of large apartment complexes. Her new endeavor is acquiring, managing, and optimizing existing businesses. She's a motivational speaker, business coach slash mentor, and the creator of the Expansive Life Blueprint. Dr. Izimama received her medical degree from the George Washington University School of Medicine and completed her emergency medicine training at the Carolinas Medical Center, now Atrium Health. Dr. Izimama is also an avid runner, hiker, traveler, adventurer, gardener, and reader. Let's listen.
So can you tell the world a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Inken Izimama. I am an ER physician. I'm based out of Nashville, Tennessee. I've been practicing for, I think, around 8 years now. It has been fantastic. And in the recent few years, I started investing. I started as a passive investor. And then after that, I just saw the beauty, the impact, and I became an active investor and I created Phoenix Capital Investment. And I've been really helping professionals in and out of the healthcare field grow passive wealth through investing through apartment complexes. So I'm excited to be here and just jump into the conversation.
A doctor, you're pretty busy, right? You just told me you work until 2 a.m. So what made you want to add another hat and then get into real estate?
So I love what I do. Like I get to make a difference. I'll share a little story. I can't really tell a lot about it, but I got a picture. A couple had sent me a card, a thank you card. I think I saw them late last year and took care of them. And I got a card in the mail that was sent to the hospital and I received it yesterday. And it just made me realize that, like, I get to make a difference in the hospital. And I'm so grateful for that. But a few years ago, I started to experience the brunt of COVID-19, and I was not the only one. A lot of us in the healthcare field, especially in the ER, started kind of struggling with job security. And at that point, I started asking myself, well, what are we doing about it? How are we securing our wealth? How are we, you know, how are we taking care of our financial future? Because a lot of healthcare professionals, a lot of physicians, we're good at what we do, which is medicine. We're experts, but we don't know how to do anything else. And I might be generalizing a little bit, but we don't know a ton about finances, a ton about investing. And so I took it upon myself to learn. I took it upon myself to just get excited about figuring out how I could grow wealth so that I would not rely solely on my job. And I would do it because I loved it, not because it was going to meet all of my needs. And so I decided to start diversifying, and I started with real estate investing. I had done stocks and life insurance, and I had maxed out my 401k. So I did all those things, but I said, what else can I do? And I started investing in real estate. I started as a passive investor. And what that means for those listening, you know, I vetted some operators, some people who were running deals, and I decided to just invest with them. So I put a certain amount of money into a deal and I just let it work for me. I didn't ask, you know, I asked questions, I saw the financials, but I wasn't playing a key role in any of the decisions. And I saw that work for me. I saw them buy apartment complexes, and after, you know, income and expenses are taken out and debt is paid, I got distributions and I started making some money. And I realized that my money, my hard-earned income was working for me while I was working in the hospital or while I was even sleeping. And so I started researching, I started talking to friends and family and colleagues and telling them kind of everything that I was doing. And at some point when I had invested in a few more deals, I decided that with the questions were coming, I was teaching, I was impacting, and I realized that it was something that I loved. And I saw the need in the healthcare space. I saw the need that it was okay for me to do something else. It was okay for that my identity didn't have to only be in medicine, and I could decide to be a real estate investor, and I could also help the people like me who didn't have access, who didn't know about this, who didn't have the financial education. You know, so I would also, you know, impact physicians, healthcare professionals from a financial literacy standpoint. So that's how, long story short, that's how Phoenix was born. And it has been an awesome journey moving from passive investing to active investing, and I have loved it. And the biggest thing I will say is that I have gotten to empower a ton of healthcare professionals, a ton of physicians, a ton of my colleagues, and I've got to bring awareness. I've gotten to bring awareness to them, and I think that has just been amazing. That's one of the most beautiful parts of the journey so far.
So it sounds like you did that LP deal, limited partner deal, so you can invest passively and learn. And you took a lot from it. You realized that, you know, these distributions are very nice and can build my future. Was there any myths that you debunked while you were an LP in that deal?
So the first thing that one of the biggest things that I had to overcome, or like one of the things that I had to decide that this was not true, was that I felt like in the beginning that it was too late to invest. That was one of the first things. Like I thought, you know, I had missed the boat, that, you know, it wasn't like my chance, my opportunity had come and gone because I didn't do it 5 years ago. I didn't do it 10 years ago. And I realized that that was really not the case. I started telling a lot of my investors in the investor community that, you know, like the best time to invest was, yes, 5, 10 years ago, but the next best time is now. So if you do, you know, with the right education, with the right research, you know, with finding the right people, with partnering with the right team, that like now is another great time. And so it's not, like I said, it's not too late. And then another thing that I had to wrap my mind around when I initially first started is that like my savings is enough. You know, I just felt like, you know, and a lot of us, I will say that a lot of healthcare professionals, at least a lot of the ones I've talked to, are more risk averse. And so it's easier to convince myself, and that's how I was before, that like money in the bank is fine. At least it's safe there. But the truth is, what is it doing for me? You know, like right now, we might have some high interest savings account, you know, that's making us some money. But a few years ago, you were still getting 0.12. You know, you were still getting things that were just, that didn't make any sense. But at least sometimes you thought, oh, I'm still getting something. But why not do the research, take the risk? It's a calculated risk. Nothing in life is without risk. And so I felt okay taking the calculated risk to realize that if I invested my money, I could get 6%, 7%, 8%. And that was such a huge eye-opener for me. And that's something I've been able to impart to some of our, you know, some of our investor physicians who are nervous, who are like, well, why am I doing this? What are the reasons? What's the benefit? You know, I think that that is another thing. And the last one I'll say is that, like, investing is for the wealthy, or it's for the like uber wealthy. And I don't think so. I think that you just have to start where you are and build from there. So like, and you have to realize what your goals are, and that will help you decide, you know, where you want to go, what you want to do, and how you're going to accomplish it. So if you're like, I want to make $10,000 of passive income in this amount of time, then you know what you need to do, and then it becomes attainable because you have a goal, and then you break it down. And so it doesn't look like I'm gonna get $10,000 in passive income today, and I'm just using that as an example. It becomes that, okay, I can get into one deal, or I can start like this, and then next year I'll add to it, and then that number becomes a little bit more attainable. So those are some of the things that I did not know, and then when I got in, it just made sense.
And some of the people listening right now are telling themselves or telling others that, you know, I don't have time. I got this, I got that. I'm busy. You're a doctor. You said you worked until 2 a.m. last night. What would you tell those people right now?
So I would say, okay, so it's different. And this is a really, really good question. The biggest thing is, at the end of the day, I'll say that it boils down to what your goals are. And that is how you'll be able to answer this question. So for me, you know, at some point I felt like I was trading all my time for money. You know, I was working the oddest hours, the longest hours. And yes, I was making good money, but what was I giving up in exchange for that? And that was one of the light bulb moments for me, that I wanted to buy back my time. And that's really how I used investing. And that's how that's how it made sense for me, for my goals, for my purpose, and for what I was trying to achieve. I realized that I didn't have to buy back my time, and I could, start working hard, investing this money, and then using my time for the things that I wanted to do, the things that brought me fulfillment, the things that made me happy. And I love what I get to do in the hospital, but I don't want to be in the hospital 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't want to do that. And so it's like, how can I build wealth? How can I grow wealth while still doing what I love? And that's how investing, that's how real estate, that was the answer for me. It will be different for a lot of people. And there's all sorts of, other alternative assets that you can get into. And the biggest thing that I will say is like doing the research, getting educated, learning, surrounding yourself by people who are now thinking differently, who are, who have all these ideas, who are thinking, well, what else could we do? How else could we show up? Because now I realize that, and I said it earlier, which was we have the resources, but we don't have the access. So it's like now figuring out, where do we need to go? Who do we need to link arms with? And then how do we bring that back to our community? That's what it boils down to. So when you start thinking about trading your time for money, and especially as busy professionals, especially as healthcare professionals, we do a lot of that. It's like, how can I reduce that? That's when you start thinking of creative ways to really let your money work for you while you're working, while you're traveling, while you're spending time with family, while you're hiking, while you're writing a book, while you're doing all the things that you love, because then it all makes sense.
What it boils down to, it sounds like, is how bad do you want it? What's your why? It can't only be for money. So if you want to do it, if you want to do anything, you just got to do it. I figure it's that simple, because at the end of the day, we always figure out how to make it. You said you're an LP, and then I assume that you're going to a more active role. What is your role as a GP, or what role do you want to have as a GP?
Good question. So in the deals that I've done, I've done two things in the deals that we have invested in with Phoenix. And a lot of it is asset management. So it's really, and I think it's for me, it was really good, because then I got to see all the back ends of running a deal, of how, and I was one of those, at the end of the day, our big goal in Phoenix is to own and operate. And so it was really good for me to, go to travel and to go look at the deal and to bring that, to bring all that information back to the investors. And it's amazing for me to like sit down in weekly calls, to run through how the asset is running, to go, to sit down with a property manager, because all our deals, these are big deals, so we're not doing it ourselves. We have a property management team that works alongside with every deal. So it's like sitting down every week with a property manager and running through how the asset is going, how the residents are doing, who's paying rent, who's not paying rent, looking at all our renovation plans, what's going on. It's so beautiful when you are, when you're on the back end and you see the transformation, you see what it used to be, and then you see the potential and you see where it's going. So every single thing you learn, and there's a lot of things that you don't know. Like, for instance, there was a big snowstorm a few weeks ago. And so that's something that maybe you didn't think about, but you're like, how did this affect, the residents? So like, there were maybe accidents on the property because of snow everywhere. So it's like, how do we take care of that? So you learn, you learn as you go, you plan for next year, you plan for next time. But a lot of it is really learning how to manage the asset. And I think that was very instrumental in my growth, in learning how to buy, learning how to vet the deal, and learning how to run the deal. I think that's the most important thing, because when you start thinking about being an active investor, it's exciting to find the deal. It's exciting, it's exciting to talk to brokers, it's exciting to find the deal, it's exciting to sign, to like put your letter of intent in, it's exciting to like really finally purchase it, sign all the documents, get all the investors. And then it's another thing to start managing it. and to start, you know, to start figuring out the ins and outs, you know, how, you know, because it's awesome. I won't lie. It's not easy work, but it's great. You're making a difference. You're seeing something grow. You're getting back to the investors. They're, you know, they're making money. It's really exciting. And like when you first send that distribution check to your investors and you're like, did you get it? It's such an exciting feeling because it's like they see it. They get it. You know, this is like their money working for them. And it starts off small. But when they see that, they're like, OK, this makes sense. This is working. I want to do more. I want to like dig my toes a little bit deeper. When is the next deal? I'm excited about it. So that's kind of, but it's the whole picture, but you have to be involved. I don't think that you can really do it. You know, like I said, you have to decide what you want to do. And if you want to be passive, and a lot of people do, then that's fine. That's what you want. You know, you decide I'm going to invest my money and I'm going to let my money work for me. When you get to the active side, it is definitely more work, but it's also fulfilling. It's a different type of fulfillment. And then now, like, you see, you get to interface with your investors closely and you get to update them on how the property is doing. You know, every month we send financials and we send updates. And so it's really, really nice to kind of have gone through the whole process.
To go through the whole process and to even be in real estate multifamily and even sometimes single family, it requires a team. So whenever you're an LP, you have to vet the operators. So how are you vetting these people and how are you finding your partners and who to trust?
Okay, so this is not black and white. There is some black, there is some white, but there's also some gray areas. So for me, it took a lot of time. You know, it took a lot of time for me to build the trust. I asked a ton of questions. I figured that if an operator, if I couldn't get a clear answer from them, I probably would walk away. So I asked, I wanted to see all the financials. I wanted to see a background. I even asked for like background. I did a background check on them because I think it's important because it's a lot of, you're investing your hard earned cash into this. Like it's stuff that you worked hard. It's stuff you worked late at night, you know, trying to get. So I think it's very important. So I asked them to give me referrals to some of their investors who they had worked with. And I said, if it's okay, you know, ask the investor, if it's okay, can I talk to them? So I did that. I told you I did background checks. I asked them, you know, I followed them for a while. So I would join if they had any webinars, if they had any sort of like information session that they were doing. I would go in and I would listen to them. I would see what they're about. You know, I would look and see like the other teams that they had worked with. You know, I did because, and I want someone to do that same thing to me and to Phoenix because I think it's important. But then at the end of the day, I had peace of mind. Now, of course, I won't know everything and things will happen. Like you cannot plan for everything. It's investing. There is risk. But I felt better because I had done as much due diligence as I could that I was like, okay, I have everything that I've asked, every question that I've asked has been answered. There will be things that happen. Life is not perfect. Life is unexpectable. That's what makes it even more fun. So there are things that like we can't expect, but everything that can, that potentially could go wrong, I have asked, I've vetted, I have gotten to know them. And so that was how the decision was. That's how I made the decision and it was easier for me. And I will say that when you're starting off, sometimes I'll say this, I think this was very important for me. When you're starting off, sometimes you feel like, okay, I know this operator, they're new, they're starting out, but they're not alone. They have other partners, they have other teams that they work with. And so they can fall back on, you know, they can borrow credibility from their partners. And that's okay too. So it's like, okay, who are you working with? Who have you worked with in the past? Who are you? Who's going to be running this deal with you? Who's going to be leading this deal with you? So I think those are all reasonable questions to ask. And if the operator does not want to answer these questions, that is a red flag and that you need to find someone else. But it is, people are people. It's building trust. It won't come in a day, but it's like, and I don't, you know, there's some people who are just like, I'm going to, you know, I see them, I like them. I've seen what they're doing in the marketplace. I invest with them, but there's others that it takes a little bit of time. You know, it takes a little bit of getting to know them, getting to like understand what they're about, understanding their values. Oh, one more important thing. They have to align their vision, their values have to align, their goals have to align with what I want in life and what I want with my investing goal. So that's also, that's probably the most important thing, but that's also very important.
We've talked about, you know, you've been an LP, we've talked about trusting and vetting people in your role in asset management. So there's people out there who are wondering, okay, you know, I have people I trust and I'm starting to pick up the knowledge. How are you actually finding a deal? How are you finding a deal? How are you getting the money for it? And how are you actually executing the business plan?
Okay, so how are we finding the deals? There are people who just want to be passive investors, and so they're just looking for the right team. Okay, but then there are also people who are like, maybe I want to do this full time. I want to jump in. And for those people, it started from me. I'll tell you two things that I did. So in the beginning, I realized that, you know, starting a multifamily real estate investment firm is not a one-woman show. And it's not something that like you're going to do by yourself. So there is it is very important to start building a team early on. And this could be an internal team of like a small group. You know, you start with what you can. So if it's like, if you're starting with one virtual assistant, or if you're starting in and you build from there, but you build a team so that you can get to where you're going faster. So that's one thing. So I started, so earlier on looking for the deal, the first thing I did was I built relationships with brokers. I didn't take no for an answer. I would call and I would say, hey, let's do coffee, or let's, you know, I wasn't afraid to say, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is what I've done. These are the investors that I have who potentially have money ready to go. Of course, they could change their mind. But so I laid down kind of everything, what I was looking for. And I said, if there's anything that you have that fits my buy box, please let me know. And then I would do that. I do that for all the brokers. You know, the area that we focus in is we do Tennessee, Georgia, and the Carolinas. That's where kind of we've done market research. That's where we like. And so I would make sure, and then I'm local in Tennessee. So I would, if I could meet with them, I would, but then I would check in on them. So I had a running list of brokers, and every month I would check in on them, and I would just be like, hey, and it could be something as easy as a text. So don't have to call, but I started doing that. And that was the first thing I did. So then they remembered me. So I was like, I was not a distant memory for them. It was something they were like, okay, I remember her if there's something. And so they started sending deals my way. And then the next thing that I did was I would be proactive. I learned how to underwrite, and I also have a team now, but that was one of the things I did. I wanted to understand what it took to really really figure out the financials of these deals and really figure out how to project what they'll do in 5 years, in 7 years, in 10 years. And so that was the next step. And then after that, if it was something that looked good, you know, I would go visit the property and then I would secret shop. So then I would go to other properties around and just kind of look at it, compare it. So that was what I did. And then now I realized that like I still work. So I started building a team. I started with getting an acquisition associate, and now her job became what I used to do, which is to talk to brokers, look at all the deals, get everything everything that matches our deal criteria, put it into our screening process, and after that, start the underwriting process. So that was really big for me, because when I got her and trained her, then I could now focus on investors. And another thing is, you know, yes, you have the deal, but you have to find the money. I will say this. Before, I thought you had to find the deal before you found the money, but it's probably more important to find the money before you find the deal. And so I started talking about what I was doing. I got on social media and I said, instead of a lot of one-to-ones, which is good, I do one-to-many. And I would reach out to, you know, I would just start telling people about my journey, telling people about what I did. And it can seem daunting, but in the beginning, I just started off with talking about mindset and the reason why I'm making this transition. And I started explaining that, and I started talking about the tools that I needed to get me to where I was. And so I started building, I started talking to investors, I started going to conferences where I felt like my investors would be at, and I started talking to them. you know, I just started sharing what I was doing, the path that I was on. Not everyone resonated with me, but not everyone's going to resonate with me. And I'm not trying to get the world. I just want people who align with where I'm going and our goals and our vision align together. So that's what I did. And so I started getting the investors and I started building a community of just people who were interested. I started putting on webinars to teach on financial literacy, to teach on investing. I would bring other guests alongside to just educate the community. And in all of that, I started building trust. And that was the most important thing, so that they could see, as transparent as I could, where I was going, the reason why, how we're doing it, who we have on our team, where we're heading. And so I will say that that worked for me, because when we got our very first deal, it was not difficult because they had followed me. They were following me from day one. And so when it was time, you know, I said, hey, we have a deal. This is what it is. And I got a ton of yeses. And so I put in, and I'll say this to anyone, listen, I put in a lot of hard work in the beginning, but I will say the hard work paid off. It's paying off. And I'll say that as soon as you can, start building a team. Start linking arms with people who will take you farther, because you can't do this alone. And it's not fun alone. When you can bring others alongside with you, and then they share in your vision, and they share in your big goal, and then you can achieve together, I think it's what makes it even better.
It sounds like you're building credibility along the way. Because, you know, you said you were just telling your story. You weren't telling a fib. You weren't telling anything crazy. You were telling your story, and you did it from day one, and that's how you're able to be successful. What is the one piece of advice that you would give someone who just wants to get started?
I would say, so I said it before, and I mean it, and it's not, I tell as many people as I can tell this. You will be afraid. You'll question everything because you're like, I'm not sure, this is risky, but nothing good comes easy. And I would just say, take a step. I would say leap and then see what happens. Learn along the way, but don't be afraid to just dip your toes. Don't be afraid to start. I said it before, like, you know, the best time to invest was when the market was fantastic. 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But the next best time is now. And your future self will thank you for doing something today, for starting, for picking up a book, for asking a question, for joining a webinar, and then deciding to move forward. You'll be so grateful for it. You'll learn from it. You'll learn so much from it. And I think it'll make you a better person. So I would say, if I had to think of like the biggest advice, I would just say, start now. You won't regret it. It'll only add to the big picture of where you're going.
Amazing. And with that said, we're going to move on to the next segment of the show, where I ask everybody the same three questions. Number one, what are the two books you recommend an aspiring investor to read?
So I would say I'd pick one book on investing, and I think I would pick a book on mindset. So, because I think that you have to have the right mindset. You have to really understand who you are, what your goals are, and then you can decide to leap. So the book on mindset, it's a short read, but it's really good. It's called The Alchemist, and it's about figuring out your purpose and what yours, and you don't necessarily have one purpose. So don't feel like, oh my goodness, I don't know what it is. I'm failing at life. No, but it helps you figure out, it asks you the questions. And then if you think that's what you're supposed to be doing, then you go for it with full force, with everything that you have in you. But it's really figuring out like what your true legend is, what your purpose is. So that's the book I like. And then the investing book that I thought was really good, it's called The Hands-Off Investor. And it's really for passive investors, but it's really thinking about why you should invest, the benefits of it, how to go about doing it, all the other arenas and avenues to do it. So I thought that that was a really good book for someone who's starting out. It's not a difficult read, and I think that you can learn from it.
What was the most impactful speech or lesson that helped you in your career?
So last year, I listened to 7 graduation speeches by J.R. Tolkien, by Steve Jobs. I think Oprah gave one. I can't remember the other four, but I spent time kind of listening to what these renowned, you know, inventors, famous actors, authors kind of were telling young people, people who are just graduating, who are just starting life. And I spent time, so it wasn't just one speech, but it was a culmination of all seven of them. And this is when I was really starting my entrepreneurial journey. And I thought it was very important because it was almost like graduation for me. And I was starting something new, and I was starting something really brand new, and it was very scary. But the underlying message in all of it is that life is short. Live life to the fullest. You'll fall down. Things won't go well, but it doesn't matter, because as long as you stand back up, then you're winning. It helped me look at failure differently, because sometimes, you know, as type A personalities or go-getters, sometimes it's hard to fail. It's hard to think about failure as something good. But if you don't try and fail, then you're not going to keep you're not going to keep doing it better in order for you to succeed. So that's what helped me start. I wasn't starting from a place of perfection or having to do it well or knowing it all. I was starting knowing that if I tumble a few times, it's okay, because I'll get back up and it's going to get me to my big goal.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And if you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
There's so many people. Okay. So there's always a story, right? So this is more recent, and she's still alive. So maybe if she listens to this, maybe she'll invite me to dinner. So I read a book last year. And it was called, the book is called Believe It, and it's by Jamie Kern Lima. She was a young girl, and she was a young woman, and she wrote a book about how she started, how she had an idea and how she had a dream. And it was she had a skin infection, and she created makeup to help her with a skin infection. Whenever she went on stage or whenever she, just anything, because she was a broadcaster at some point. And so she created this makeup in her living room, and she thought it was the best thing in the world, but she kept getting no after no after no after no. But it didn't stop her. She knew that she had created something amazing, and she pushed past all the no's. She pushed past all the failures. And eventually she got on QVC, and eventually L'Oreal bought her company for, like, she won't tell us, but billion, something billion. And so she went from nothing to that. And you know what's funny? When I was reading the book, I didn't realize that. I ran down to my makeup bag, and I had one of her foundations. And I thought, and I didn't know her story. I didn't know anything about her, but that story resonated so much with me. Because as I started this entrepreneurial journey, there was a lot of doubt. There was a lot of no's. You know, why would someone do this with me? Why would someone link arms with me? And it was disheartening, but I pushed past that. And I'm still pushing past the fear, and I'm still pushing past the doubt and the no's, knowing that, like, there's something here, and there's value that a lot of people can gain from, you know, from where I'm going, from what I'm doing, from what I'm creating. And so I just loved hearing her story. I thought it was, like, I read the book in like three sittings. Like, it was, I devoured the book, and I thought, one day I'm going to meet her. And I would just love to just kind of really, I heard her story, and I could feel some of what she felt, but to really walk me through some of the same challenges that I know I'm dealing with. So I would love to have dinner with her, and just even to also thank her for being bold enough to write her story, because it was very vulnerable. There were a lot of tears in there, and it was just good to know that another woman can really break barriers, and it was very exciting for me.
Amazing. Everyone enjoyed you being on here. How can the people reach you? How can people, you know, ask you questions if they have some?
I am on LinkedIn, so if you just type in my name, I think it's at the bottom of the screen. If you type in my name, you'll find me. I just love that platform. I think it's such a great professional platform to build relationships, to build professional relationships and to go from there. And I just think you can give value there and you can learn so much. I have learned so much on LinkedIn, so I love LinkedIn. And also, if you go to our website, it's www.phcinvest.com. That's phcinvest.com. You can schedule a call with me and or one of our team, and we would definitely love to chat with you.
Well, I'll put that all in the show notes. Thank you so much, and until next time.
That was Dr. Izamama, everybody. Please like, comment, and subscribe if you enjoyed the podcast. It'd mean a lot to me. Step one, tell two people at your job what you want to do. You want to get into real estate? You want to find houses? You want to find apartments? Whatever it is, tell two people. And just get their thoughts about it. Hear what they have to say, because you'll come to find that most people are interested in real estate. So find a new networking buddy. Number two, tell every family member that you have. Every family member should know that what you want to do. Every family member should know exactly what you're looking for, because they might know someone or hear a conversation that reminds them of you. Step three, don't be shy on social media. I don't care what anyone says. The more people who know what you want to do, I think there's a trend here. The more people who know what you want to do, the more opportunities that come your way. See you next Wednesday.